Well, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we kicked off a brand new series, our Christmas series that we're calling Away from the Manger. And we're going to be looking at some instances in the New Testament about really misconceptions about who Jesus is, times where Jesus quoted statements from the Old Testament, prophecies from the Old Testament about himself, and how people just misunderstood who he was, or they understood who he was and they didn't like it. Oftentimes the reactions to these statements from Jesus are really negative, and it's fascinating, and I think a warning for us who are believers or who have grown up in the church. It's a warning that often it was the most religious people who had the most vehement and angry reaction back at Jesus. The ones who oftentimes knew the scriptures and yet still missed the Messiah when he came. They read the scriptures and yet they didn't understand the author. They didn't know the author of the scriptures when he was standing right in front of them. And so I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 4 here. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus, he comes back to his hometown. He has started his public ministry. He has become really pretty famous pretty quickly. Word has spread all through the region of this man from Nazareth who is healing people, is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And so expectations are rising and people are talking. And then Jesus comes to his hometown, comes back home. And he comes to the synagogue, which was basically Jewish church, right? And so he comes to the synagogue and they hand him really the stage. They say, you know, he can teach. And so they hand him the scroll, and Jesus opens the scroll of Isaiah. He goes to the book, what we would call the book of Isaiah, and he reads a prophecy written hundreds of years before by the prophet Isaiah. And this is what it says, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And then in verse 20, it says he scrolled, verse 1 and 2, excuse me. And then in verse 20, he says he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That when Jesus sits down, it was customary for them, once you read the scripture, you would sit down and you would begin to teach on the scripture. And so everybody, right, I mean, you can hear a pin drop in the room. Everybody's looking at Jesus and wondering, what is he going to say next? And Luke tells us, right, this is how he kicks off his message, is by saying, "Today, this scripture, this prophecy, right, this person, this figure that Isaiah is talking about, the one who is the anointed one, the Messiah, the one who's going to proclaim good news to the poor, who's going to set the captives free, who's going to give their sight back to the blind, who's going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," Jesus says, "that's been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, Jesus says, "I am the Messiah. I am the one we've all been waiting for. I am the coming anointed one." And there's a lot of things that happen after that, but I just want to hone in on what it is that that prophecy says. That it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. That he sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is fantastic news. That Jesus is saying, right, all the promises, all the prophecies of the Old Testament, this Savior who is to come, I'm him. I am he. I am the Messiah, and I've come to bring salvation. You know, when it says bring good news to the poor, to set the captive free, recovering of sight to the blind, there's obviously physical needs that Jesus met during his ministry, and we as the church are called to meet physical needs. There's healing that Jesus does, and we're to pray for people's healing, but there's also, I mean, there's a real spiritual, the emphasis is on the spiritual component of what Jesus does, that he brings salvation to those who are spiritually poor, those who are spiritually enslaved to their sin. And when it says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, there was a concept in the Jewish, or actually a year in the Jewish calendar. So there was something called the Year of Jubilee. Every 50th year in Israel, in the Old Testament, they were to proclaim the Year of Jubilee. And what that meant is they were going to people received back their ancestral home, their property. So if they had lost their property, their families or their ancestors had lost their property due to debt or whatever it may be, they would receive back that land. They would set slaves free. If you were enslaved, you'd be set free in the year of Jubilee, and all of your debts were canceled. In the year of Jubilee, all of your debts were canceled. And I was thinking about that in our sort of modern context. So Morgan and I, we just, you know, purchased a home. Our family just purchased a home here in Delaware. And I just saw the breakdown of our first mortgage payment, of what went to principal and what went to interest. That was a very sad moment, you know, seeing how much goes to interest, and how little goes to principal. But I was thinking about this, about, you know, if, what if 2020 were like a government declared year of Jubilee, and all of a sudden, January 1, 2020, the U.S. government said, look, somehow without wrecking the economy, all of your debts are canceled. All of your financial debts are canceled. Your auto, you know, car payment, canceled, right? Your mortgage, gone. Your credit card debt, gone, right? All of your debt, gone, canceled. That would be a fantastic day. My guess is we would celebrate the nonsense out of that. We'd probably take our loved ones out to dinner. We might go on a vacation and rack up more debt, which would kind of defeat the purpose, but that's not the point, right? We would celebrate, right, the canceling of that debt. That would be amazing. And yet the reality of what Jesus is saying here is far more amazing than that, because here's the truth. Here's what the scriptures repeatedly teach, that we are, apart from Christ, every single one of us, we are enslaved to our sin. We are the captives. We are spiritually blind. We are spiritually poor. We are in need of a Savior. And while that may be hard to hear, I mean, that's the first part of the gospel, is we're in need of a Savior. But then Jesus says the good news is, I am that Savior. I have come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Today, God has extended grace to you and me. He is offering grace to us, forgiveness. Jesus is saying, I've come that you might be set free. Your life sentence, your eternal sentence of sin and death has been wiped away. I've given you new life. Jesus has offered that to you and to me. That's the good news. It's the canceling of a much greater debt, and we should celebrate that. And so as we head into this Christmas season, that's my hope for us, is that we don't, you know, we've called it away from the manger, because I think sometimes we maybe minimize Jesus, or we relegate him to the manger. And we should absolutely celebrate that Jesus has come, the coming of Christ, the incarnation, the coming of God in the flesh. But we should also remember that Jesus, right, that baby grew up, and he lived a perfect life in your place and mine, and he died a brutal death on the cross in your place and in mine, and then he rose from the grave, and he now is seated at the right hand of the Father, and for all who trust him, he wipes away our sin, and he advocates for us, and he has set us free, canceled our debt, and brought us back into right relationship with the Father. And we should celebrate that this Christmas season. So let me pray for you, and then I want to give you an opportunity just to pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, forgive us for when we minimize you. Jesus, forgive us for when we minimize or relegate you to some smaller area of our life, or just think about you in ways that aren't biblical, aren't really who you are. God, I pray this Christmas season you would bring into sharp and wonderful clarity just the reality of the incarnation, of your life, of your death, of your resurrection, and that we would celebrate, Father, the fact that you have, if we've trusted you with our lives, you've canceled our debt. You have washed away our sin, and we have new and eternal life in you. And if there are any listening right now who have yet to take that step, Father, I pray for them this morning that they would take that step to turn from their sin and trust you with their lives. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a moment just to pray for yourself. Thanks so much for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and we hope you'll tune in with us again tomorrow morning.